Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
I don't have all of the evidence there, Glenn, so I'm not in a place. I have not been.
You know, look at this guy. How far has he fallen? I mean, two years ago we were talking about him being in the White House. Yeah. Now they're talking about his physical endowments.
In the quest to be clever, I completely forgot about the people that I love.
All right, well, we'll be hearing about all of that this evening here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, our number 877-876-PHIL. And we're located here on the El Pacifico, baby, every night till 1 o'clock out here on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. On this radio show, we take a little bit of a trip through the looking glass, the Alice in Wonderland of talk radio, and we give you a look at the other side of the news and the issues, perhaps the way you think of things. What we like to say is truth is our bitch. Joe Biden, a marvelous guy for the entertainment he's provided us for, the last year or so, he is now claiming that Iraq is an achievement not for President Bush. Iraq will be an achievement for President Obama. It's an amazing thing. How did this guy stay in the Senate for the number of years that he did? For this very reason. He can turn on a dime and he can look you straight in the eye and tell you that the sky is green and that he's black and Obama's white. And for some reason, people buy it. Joe Biden, tonight, 877-876-PHIL. Also tonight, we expand our coverage in the New York area, bringing on as a new affiliate WMCR in Oneida, New York. WMCR 1600 in Oneida, New York. And we're very, very grateful to have you guys with us. Plenty of affiliates, not only in New York City, but throughout the state as well. 877-876-PHIL. Now, we're going to start the show this evening to talk about something that's very, very important to parents. It should be very, very important to kids. Some kids are obviously too young to understand the impact. But let me tell you, if you're a kid and you're old enough to really grasp what it is I'm saying, there is, and it would appear, a problem in our country with obese kids, kids that are overweight, young people that are carrying too much weight. Today, we've got a story from the ABC News Medical Unit, Courtney Hutchinson and Michelle Schlieff, who are now reporting that obese children are twice as likely to die before the age of 55. The study is published on Wednesday. It followed 5,000 American Indian children from childhood to middle age and found that those who were obese as children were more than twice as likely to die from disease before the age of 55. And, of course, Native American children, if that's the focus group, there may be something in terms of genetics that causes that among Native Aboriginal North American children and maybe not among the children of European Americans, you know what I'm saying? But we're going to bring on Dr. Jim Sadler. Dr. Sadler is a doctor in San Diego, a general practitioner in San Diego, California. He's going to join us to talk about this because I know that you have spent time treating obese children, correct, sir?
Well, absolutely, yeah. And it is a problem. It's a problem for the children, it's a problem for the parents, and it's a problem for the doctors, because of all the problems that we, of all of the medical and the physical challenges, I guess, that doctors will face, and treatment challenges and therapy challenges that we face, this one is the most daunting.
Is that because, Dr. Sadler, there's just so many kids that are overweight?
It's more because, for whatever reason, and I know the reasons are compelling, people hold on to weight because they think they can lose the weight tomorrow, or they're not taking seriously what the doctor is requesting or suggesting, what regimen he is suggesting. They're not taking it seriously. You have doctors that are frustrated, and I number myself among them. And it is natural, I think, for a doctor to get angry when he sees a patient so blatantly ignoring very specific requests to help. And when it's a child,
I can imagine it's tough.
It's doubly difficult when it's a child because you're dealing not only with the sensitivity and feelings of the child, you have to talk directly to the parent as well.
Can you tell me, Dr. Sadler, and you were very good enough to open up to us before we went on the air, about a confrontation you had with a parent in your office last week?
Oh, I'd be very happy to. Again, we're only human. Doctors are human. We see these children now. As you mentioned, Phil, at the outset of your broadcast here, that the children are twice as likely to die before the age of 55 if they're obese. I told a parent who had come in with a son. He was a 9-year-old son, and this boy was 130 pounds. The child was around 4 foot, I would say at the age of, I don't have his chart with me, about 4'10".
Okay, that's heavy, huh?
The weight was everywhere on this child. It covered every part of his body. And it is natural for a doctor to lose his temper in that situation. It's natural for us, and that's what happened.
What happened? So this child came in with the parent?
The child walked in, and I saw this child had not physically, I did not see any definition there, and I hadn't seen any real change in the color. I hadn't seen any real change in the weight of the child, and certainly when he walked in, I got so frustrated because this was a child and a parent that I'd been working with carefully, and so I said what I said.
And can you tell us what you said?
I said to the parent, and unfortunately the child heard me say, I said, look at this fat, and I used a four-letter word. And I was pointing to this boy, saying to the parent, I hope you enjoy having a fat kid because you will be burying this kid. In other words, and the point that I was making there, Phil.
Wow.
Well, the point that I was making is this. No parent wants to bury a child.
Absolutely.
No parent wants to outlive their children. That happens to be just the way we're built as human beings. And so when I see them bring their children in, and they are still fat, and the parent stands there with the approach to me, I can't do anything about it. Well, if you can't do anything about it, I understand. You'll be putting that in the ground very soon. I mean, that child. And you'll be putting it in the ground very soon. So if you're happy, I'm happy.
I got to tell you, that is a very... You are direct, aren't you?
I'm absolutely direct because we've got these parents who come in with their children that are overweight and they want information and they want and I say to them, I'd be happy to do this for you. I want to see you back in 3 weeks. Here is a diet regimen. Here are some vitamins I'd like the child to take. I'd like to see a urine sample, obviously. I even asked for a stool sample. I said, now, this is what I want. In 3 weeks' time, if you come back in here and I'm looking at your son and he's got the same, you know, stomach hanging out of a T-shirt, I said, we're going to have what we like to call it, I said, this is a come-to-Jesus meeting. And, of course, they said, well, some people are confused. I said,
well, when you say come-to-Jesus, you mean getting down to brass tacks?
Get the straight talk, exactly.
Okay.
And she had the, I got to hand it to her. She had guts. She had real guts. She actually walked into my office 3 weeks later with the same fat, if you'll pardon me, Phil. But she actually had the guts to come back into my office with the same fat kid that she had walked into my office with 3 weeks before. And that's what I looked at her almost as if I couldn't believe my eyes that she would challenge me. And I said, well, will you look at that fat, and I used the four-letter word, I apologized to her, and...
But then after you apologized to her, that's when you said to her, you'll be burying your son before you die.
I said to her, first of all, I pointed out the statistics to her, obese children are twice as likely to die before the age of 55. And I said to her, it's very possible that that fat boy that you brought in here dies next month.
Is some of this a shock therapy?
No, it's not shock therapy. I'm shocked when I see a parent come back in with the same fat kid that they walked out with. I'm shocked with that, Phil. I'm very, no, it's not. I very much take umbrage.
Well, I don't mean to offend you, Doctor, but you're saying to them, this fat kid is going to die before you. That fat F.
It was I misspoke.
No, I understand that, you didn't mean to say that, but you say the doctors get angry.
Well, we have every right to be angry.
You feel that you have every right to be angry, even when you're dealing with fat children.
We have been dealing with fat adults, overweight adults, obese adults, morbidly obese adults for decades, going on centuries, it seems. We've been trying to put a lasso around this fat problem, this overweight problem we have in this country and the world. And we're getting no closer. We're getting no closer. We have exercise. We have better diet. We have the best food that we've ever had. We have more responsible manufacturers and providers of nourishment and food. We have a great array of dietary aids. And we still have the same fat-looking people that you got to deal with. You got to look at that when you go into the office. And then, on top of it, here she comes with this 8-year-old boy that is a... Well, I got to tell you, I didn't mean to say fat F, but I wish I could say it on your show right
now. Well, I'd rather you not. You feel like you really want to say that.
I wanted to scream it. I wanted to scream. You come walking into my office with your fat ASS and this fat ASS.
All right, Dr. Jim Sadler joins us here at a world-famous Phil Hendry show. He is a doctor, a general practitioner, trying to deal with the obesity problem among children, and he had a little bit of a confrontation with a mother and her son today. When they walked into the office, the boy was still overweight. You say he was around 138?
I think the boy is probably up around 148 pounds, and he's only 4'10", 4'11".
And so you said, look at this fat F word.
Yeah, but I don't want to concentrate on that because that's not, you know, that's, you're going to make that about me. She's the one that brought the fat boy in, and the fat boy is the one that said he was going to do what I asked him to do, and he still walks in fat. And it's natural for a doctor to say, well, you fat F, because I lost my temper, and I shouldn't have.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. We're talking about health, we're talking about kids, we're talking about... Well, we're talking about a lot of stuff here, man. We're talking about the fact that these large children, obese children, could die, according to Dr. Sadler, before the age of 55. And he said to that one mother, you're going to bury that boy right in front of him. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. For an 8-year-old child to learn how to fire a machine gun unless he's living in Somalia, in which case, you know, line them up, man. The shooting range's open in Massachusetts. On the line with us, Dr. Jim Sadler. Dr. Sadler from San Diego, a GP, and we're talking about the epidemic of obesity among our children. The article says that obese children are twice as likely to die before the age of 55. Do you approve of Dr. Sadler's approach to dealing with overweight children and their parents? Our number 877-876-PHIL. And basically what you've said is to us, Dr. Sadler, is you use a very direct approach, although I suppose some people might think it harsh.
I don't think it's harsh at all when you're talking about a child that is 8 years of age, weighs over 115 pounds, or one girl that we had, a 12-year-old girl, who weighs 140 pounds. And something that parents need to understand when they bring their children to any doctor, any pediatrician, any GP, we have to deal with the child physically. We have to look at the body and Some of these children come in snow pants, and their bellies are too big. They can't even see their own feet. And to use a word that, that maybe the young people use today, it's for a doctor to look at that and deal with it. It's just nasty. It's just nasty. So we would thank the parents when they bring their children in to keep that in mind.
All right. Okay. So it's nasty to have to deal with any overweight person, I would imagine.
But it's doubly difficult with the children because you're not used to seeing children that are that. That look that way. Adults, I'm used to. Adults, when it comes to their own personal weight, have very little discipline. Now, as I've said, there are a number of things we can do, but I expect that they be done. And what happened in the case of Mrs. Davey, who brought her daughter in, and I won't use her full name, but the boy came back in. And he was exactly the same body type. He still had a hard time fitting into his clothes. Looked like the same fat kid. And these parents think that I'm a miracle worker. Many times you'll have an overweight parent with a fat kid or overweight child. I tell them to do something, I expect it to get done. And then when they bring the child back and the child looks the same way, I'm going to look at that kid and I'm going to say, "You look like, this is going to be nasty working with you."
Well, why would you humiliate the child?
Well, the point to humiliating the child, and I'm not trying to humiliate the child, but you're trying to get through to the parent. You can talk to a parent and say, "Your child will be dead, possibly before you," and maybe that rings a bell. It should, and maybe it doesn't. I can say to them that it's likely your fat kid will die soon. And maybe that rings a bell, maybe it doesn't. But the parent, you get their attention when you talk directly to the kid and you say, "Have you ever thought about death? Of course you haven't. You're 8 years old. But do you know, with all that fat hanging off of your stomach and your rear end and your, you know," and the kids think it's funny, but you say, "Look, I can see your butt crack," and they're, "Ha ha, you really? How'd you like people staring at your butt crack if they have to bury you face down?" And you get their attention that way, and you get the attention of the parents that way. I'm here, Phil, trying desperately.
Well, let me interrupt you here. If I'm a father and I'm listening to my child being told that if he remains that weight, they're going to bury him face down, and everyone's going to look at his rear end cracked in a coffin.
Have you ever seen the show Scared Straight, where they take children and they basically threaten them with rape in a jail?
I know Scared Straight, yeah.
This is Scared Straight. This is taking a kid, only what we scare not only the kid, we scare the parent. And we tell the parent, if you think that I'm being rude to your kid, listen to how rude people are going to be at that child's funeral when they have to bury him face down and they're looking at, excuse me for saying it, they'll ass crack.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. We're talking to Dr. Jim Sandler about obese children, the epidemic of obese children that we have in the United States, what parents can do about it, what children can do about it, and the frustration that doctors are feeling over this situation. Irene in San Antonio, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Dr. Jim Sandler.
Yes, what I want to say is that I agree with half of what he's saying, but his approach towards the child was very wrong. He is a child, and he's going to be hurt. And he's going to take that very personal. I think he should have taken him out and said, "Wait outside and talk to the mother and be strong to her and tell her exactly, you know what, you're going to hurt your child. It's up to you, but this child becomes, and you need to be more careful because you are hurting your child. You are killing your child."
Are you a doctor? You
know, I'm not. No, I'm not a doctor, but I'm a mother, and I
well,
have...
Well, then I don't see how what you're saying. Now, I understand that you have children, but I've often talked to mothers, and they don't say anything to the children because they want to ease the blow. So I have to say directly to the child that if you maintain your regimen, if you maintain eating the way you're eating, and continue to have this kind of weight problem, your mother will be weeping at your grave. Your mother will be weeping at your grave.
No,
oh my God!
Right.
You say that to an 8-year-old child?
have to say it to the child.
That's what I'm saying, that you can't do that. You're a doctor. You should know, if anything, you should know exactly how the child feels. You are making him feel real bad.
Of course.
I have to do something.
I have to do something. Otherwise, this child is going to come back in 3 weeks with his rear end hanging out. He won't fit into any clothes.
But you're in the wrong position to treat a child like that. The problem
the mother is, his mother will weep at his grave.
Phil
Hendry. His mother will cry at his grave. And all she'll see is his rear end.
Our number is 877-876-PHIL. We're talking with Dr. Jim Sadler about this epidemic of obesity among children. And I know what you're saying, Dr. Sadler, that there are a great many doctors that are frustrated. And the frustration often comes out in rather aggressive ways of talking to the children, aggressive ways of talking to the parents. But you brought up to us saying to the child that your mother will be weeping at your grave, that you'll be buried face down so people can see the fat in your rear end, the fat, you know, the what you call the butt crack.
These are ways of getting through to a child. We live in a time when these parents are making our job very difficult. That's why I have to humiliate the child right in front of the parent. The parent will feed that child anything to keep the child happy, many times to keep the child quiet, to feed the child enough sugar, for instance, to deaden the child for the rest of the night. But they will get hyper.
I was going to say, kids get hyper on sugar.
They do get hyper, but then they dull out, if you will. The eyes begin to glaze over, and they deaden. They'll sit down, and you have a child that is pliable and will do what you bid it to do. Now, I can tell you that I once told a mother in the waiting room, and I want to preface this because it didn't really happen, but I am so desperately in need of a way to wake these parents up, because they're the ones that have been deadened as well, deadened by their own desire to feed anything to their child. I told a mother in the waiting room that a seven-year-old fat kid had suffered a heart attack in the examining room.
Oh, God almighty, you didn't.
Yes, I did. And let me...
Oh, come on. You did not walk out and you told the mother what?
I told her that she had a seven-year-old... And I said, a seven-year-old fat kid. You know what I'm talking about.
No, I understand that the child was overweight.
Yeah, but I said, because you need to let her know that it's her fault. And why do I need to do that?
Wait. I want to know something. You told this mother that her seven-year-old child had suffered a heart attack.
I said a stroke and then a heart attack, yes.
At the age of seven?
Yes, I did. Can I explain this, Phil? Because, you know, with your emotion, you're going to give the wrong message to a lot of parents out there.
No, but I find that to be the kind of shock treatment that I said that you use, and you said, no, you don't.
No, I do not use shock treatment. What I do use is put on, you people in the entertainment business, you call it put on a satire.
You're not doing satire, Dr. Sadler. You're walking in on a mother in a waiting room and saying to her that her child, her seven-year-old child, has just had a heart attack.
I said, if you'll allow me to finish.
All right.
I said your seven-year-old fat kid, and I say that to emphasize that they will not immediately lunge at me, because I've had stories of doctors that have used this method, and the parent lunges at the doctor because they didn't use the phrase, you're a fat kid, and when you say that, the parent then takes, they have ownership of the child's stroke and partial paralysis and then death.
And what are you saying to these parents, exactly? They had a stroke?
You say that the child, in this case, this girl's name was Amber. You say she had a stroke with partial paralysis and a heart attack, but you're not listening to me. I tell her I'm only kidding. But this is a wake-up call to the mother And, of course, the daughter was fine.
Though the daughter is fine, I understand that, but you put this mother through this shock of that her daughter had a stroke.
Well, the face, I tell her that the daughter's right arm just limped in much the way, like Kirk Douglas, if you've ever heard him. And I said, I couldn't understand your daughter. She was saying things that I know right away she had a stroke because she was slurring her words and her face had taken on the look of Kirk Douglas or something like this because people know what you're talking about.
And this is a 7-year-old child.
And because your child is so fat, she had a massive stroke and heart attack. And I'm only kidding. And let me tell you.
What do the parents do? You say that you've had parents lunge at doctors?
If they don't say fat kid. Because what that does is it puts it back on the parent. And the parent says, you know what? I did this. I killed my child. And I said to this woman, I said, you haven't killed your child. Not yet you haven't. But you're making a very, very good start.
877-876-PHIL is the number here on the Phil Hendry Show. 877-876-PHIL. You imagine there's going to be a lot of people are going to have opinions about the way that you treat kids for obesity.
Of course, but I'm the doctor. I'm the one that has to treat.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. Let's go over to a phone call here in Providence, Rhode Island. This is Tom. Tom, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Dr. Jim Sadler. Go ahead, please.
Hello, Mr. Hendry. I've been very aggravated with this doctor that's talking tonight. Have you ever seen anybody put in a casket head down so you can see his behind?
Yes, I have.
Huh?
Yes, sir, I have. That happens in rare cases when the blood pools at the front of the body.
Well, I have never been to a no funeral. I have never seen anybody buried head down in a casket. And furthermore,
face down, sir, not head down. Face down.
Well, that's what I'm talking
about.
Face down. Yes.
So
you can see the crack of his behind.
Well, the reason why I said that is they can't fit the child into the pants that they've got for him for the funeral. And this is the kind of embarrassment.
Come on. Let's get real.
Are you telling me they can't find pants big enough for a kid?
I'm just telling this gentleman asked me a question. I've been to funerals like that. And these parents, until they start taking it seriously.
Come from because I've never seen a funeral yet where the person is buried face down in the casket.
Sir, how many funerals do you go to?
I have been to quite a few because I am 80 years old and I've been on this earth for a long time and I've been to many funerals.
Ask you this question? How many fat kids have you, in all of that, how many fat kids?
A lot of them. I've seen a lot of big people.
I'm not talking about the kids that you were in a war with. I mean, as they, real kids.
What do you mean real? He knows what you're saying.
Real kids.
Well, you're remembering the young guys that got shot up in World War II.
Dr. Sadler, what the gentleman is saying is, yes, he's seen actual children dead.
Well, then this man must live in the most death-infested city in America. He's looking at old people, little people, fat kids, skinny kids, and he says he's going to funerals all the time. Is AIDS?
Where do you get these people that gives you the conversation? Because I listen to your show.
Well, my producer
every night.
I don't know what this gentleman's talking about. What I'm trying, sir,
these
you have no
are,
idea.
They
about
don't
the horrors.
Sound very educated to me,
sir. You have no idea about the horrors I've seen with these dead fat kids.
Oh, I've seen them too. Yes, sir. I've seen a lot of life, my friend.
May I ask you, what did these kids die from? From being fat? The kids that you see, what'd they die from? See, I don't think this guy's seen any dead fat ones.
Oh, come on.
Okay. We're not talking about a fish or some kind of game
Jesus
that you tie to the front of the
Christ.
Car. We're talking about children...
I wanted to call a few times, but this tonight is very aggravating, I'll tell you.
Are you a father? No, you're not a father.
Yes, I am.
Of course, you're a mother. All right. What do you mean you're a mother?
Who said anything about mother?
I said, are you a father? You said you aggravate me too much.
Phil, I'm sorry, but I just can't go along with this.
If you have a fat kid, you're going to be burying another fat kid. Let me tell you why this guy's going to a lot of fat kid funerals, because those are all of his kids that he couldn't wean off of the Nestle's quick. And guess what? They're face down in a box, and he lied about that.
What is this face down? That's the part that I don't get. The fact that the kid is so bloated, you say the blood collects in the face?
The kid is going to go to sleep at night on his stomach. Naturally, the blood collects into his fat face and his gut. And when he dies, that's where it is. Now, what are you going to bury him face up? He's going to look like, I don't know what he's going to look like. He's going to look like he has rosacea. And you can't have that. And
oh, no, I wouldn't want to have that. Why not just bury him face down, especially in a pair of pants that don't fit?
Mr. Henry, I'm telling you that this is something that I saw, and you know, I love these parents calling up and breaking my chops, breaking my castanets. What's the fattest kid, just Mr. Henry, what's the fattest kid you've seen dead and decomposing? Have you got any idea?
No, I do not, sir, and I would not answer that question even if I did. To be honest with you, I am not a doctor. You are. I'm not a coroner. There are other people that do that. I don't drive an ambulance. I'm not a medic. I'm not a man that is around those terrible scenes. I put my faith in you and others to treat the dead as well as the living with respect. And what you've been saying tonight sounds disrespectful.
I don't put a kid in a coffin face first.
I didn't say you did, but the way you're talking about the child. 877-876-PHIL. Justin, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hi. Actually, it's Jeremy. I'm just very nervous. I was fat when I was a kid, okay? And this doctor, if I had visited this doctor, I would have flipped out right in his office, okay? When I was 17, I ran away from home.
What do you mean flip out?
I mean, like, I would have probably clawed your eyes out. Because, you know, talking to a kid like that, I mean, I can't imagine if that had happened to me.
If you're an 8-year-old kid, you're not going to claw anybody. And if
I was a pretty good
How did you lose your weight? Tell me how you lost your weight. Let's get down to really important.
Okay, I've been listening to you for like 20 minutes now. It's driving me crazy. Okay? I got involved in a kind of gang of kids that, you know, we got involved in some crazy stuff. And I was just like, you know, my parents didn't know where I was for like a year. And by the time they saw me, they didn't recognize me. I dyed my hair. I had, you know, like, put a bunch of earrings in and stuff like that. And I just was doing some drugs. And I lost the weight, the crazy way. But if I had been in your...
So you're telling me what to do, and you're out there doing up drugs, getting AIDS, or whatever you got to lose weight. This is much healthier to say to a kid, your mother is going to drop to her knees weeping if you die before your mother dies. And you're saying that's worse than you shooting up.
My mother thought I was dead because for like a year I was just like walking the streets in D.C.
Oh my God, what this guy's saying.
Dr. Sadler. This gentleman he was a troubled youth, but the things that you're saying, the humiliation you're pouring on a kid may very well cause that child to go out and live the life that Justin or Jeremy did.
It's my fault.
He's probably creating all kinds of psychopaths because he's a psychopath. Okay.
You know, you go goth and you put on your green makeup or whatever you do, and that's my fault.
No, but I'm just saying, if my mother had brought me to your office when I was a kid, and you had said something like that to me, I would have flipped out, first of all. And when I was 17 and I left home, I could stand it because my mother was really fat, and I just looked at her and I saw myself. And I didn't want her to know where I was. So I got involved in this gang of kids, and we hung out in D.C., the streets, you know, and I turned my life around. I mean, it was bad for a couple of years. But then
do you really want to do it that way, or would you rather have come to my office and I could have said to you, Jeremy, you know, get it together, you fat ass.
I would have slapped you silly.
Oh, my God, that's fantastic. So instead what you did is you went out onto the streets of D.C., you made your mother cry, you almost died from any number of diseases, you're going goth one day, and the next day you're a headbanger, and they could have easily have found you in a gutter. But no,
you're
the bad guy.
Yeah, because it's people like you that torment that torment fat people.
I'm not tormenting fat people. I'm trying to get them to see their responsibility. I forget.
You know what? I wish, you know what? I wish, I think you're, what are you, in California?
I bet you, I bet you weighed 300 pounds and you braided your beard. You're the kind of guy that thinks braiding your beard is going to help you. I'm saying,
no, I didn't have a beard, okay?
And if you're turning tricks on the streets of D.C. with chubby chasers, that's my fault.
I didn't.
Oh, whoa. Let's just.
Yeah, sure.
And you know what?
Yeah, right.
Jeremy, it sounds to me like you got your life together, and how's your mother? You guys still have a relationship? Is she still with us?
No, she accepts me now for who I am.
She accepts you for who you are.
Yes, I'll tell you what.
Okay.
I didn't know who I was when I was kid. I was fat, and I thought I was normal, but I really wasn't normal. Now I realize I'm skinny, and I'm normal, and I love my body, and my friends love my body. And I'm very happy now, and I can see that if I had to go through something like what he would, do to his patients, I don't think I would have turned out as great as I am.
Well, it sounds like you did a good job.
You know how nasty it is for me to hear this guy talking about how he loves his body and he's 800 pounds or something? It's nasty.
Well, no, I'm not 800 pounds. I weigh 164. Okay, and I'm 5'11". I weigh 164, and I'm very trim.
Well, my experience is that people who say they love their body are generally 30 to 40 pounds overweight. So,
well, you know what, Dr. Sadler, I'm finding that you do not have a whole lot of you've got a lot of anecdotal information, but I don't know about anything else.
So you
have to know how tall are you, Doctor? Fat sack. What's your name?
I've been in bodybuilding competitions. That came out of nowhere, didn't it? Yeah.
Oh, talk about people that love their body. You stand yourself in the mirror all the time, pumping your muscles and pumping whatever else.
Well, I'm 53 with a 19-year-old wife.
Well, now wait a minute.
No, I do bodybuilding, and this guy should know. Okay, I walk the walk. And when I watch some kid come in who's 8 years old with the fat hanging off his ass, excuse my language.
You know, I wonder about you. You talk about kids' asses a lot. You know, did you want to
excuse me? Excuse me, you're the guy who was talking about, the tricks. Look, you can bounce a quarter off my six-pack abs. All right?
A quarter off your six-pack abs.
All right. Thanks very much.
I didn't say my ass. You talk about having ass on the brain.
All right. Thank you very much, Jeremy, and the best of luck to you, man. Sounds like you've done great things with your life.
What about me? Have I done great things with my life?
No, Dr. Sadler, you haven't. You've humiliated children.
Okay. And I didn't talk nice to the gay guy that called up who was turning tricks on the street with his, with his Cure T-shirt. Forget it.
Okay.
Yeah, he hung up. The line just went dead.
Thank you. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Yeah, do you like that? Phil, do you like that? Phil.
An Ohio inmate that says he's too fat for execution. According to this Associated Press writer in wherever the hell this is, I guess it's Ohio, Columbus, Ohio, a death row inmate scheduled for execution says he's too fat to be put to death, claiming executioners would have trouble finding his veins and that his weight could diminish the effectiveness of one of the lethal injection drugs. Well, he isn't saying that. His attorney is. Understand that this inmate probably couldn't even think of something that complicated, but the lawyer for Richard Cooey argued in a federal lawsuit that Cooey, 5'7" and 267 pounds, had poor veins when he faced execution 5 years ago, and the problem has been worsened by weight gain. The lawsuit filed Friday in federal court also says prison officials have had difficulty drawing blood from Cooey for medical procedures. He's 41. He was sentenced to die for raping and murdering two young women in 1986. His execution is scheduled for October the 14th. They've been screwing around with it for 22 years, going back and forth about what a fat pig he is. They're going to finally fry this fat tub of guts. And now he says he's so fat, he can't find a decent vein for, for mainline a little bit of junk, how are they going to find a decent vein for the lethal injection? He can't find a decent vein for that Darvon that he grinds up in a spoon. How the hell are they going to find a good, you know, vein for them to finally put this dog down? His attorneys say a drug he's taking for migraine headaches could affect the execution process. The drug, Topamax, a type of seizure medication, may have created a resistance to thiopental, the drug used to put inmates to sleep before two other lethal drugs are administered. Dr. Mark Heath, a physician hired by the Ohio Public Defender's Office, testified to this in documents filed in the court. Heath says Cooey's weight combined with a potential drug resistance increases the risk he would not be properly anesthetized. All of the experts agree if the drug doesn't work, the execution is going to be excruciating. Cooey's public defender Kelly Culshaw Schneider said on Monday. Makes you wonder if these people are kidding, doesn't it? Please keep an open mind, folks, about the death penalty. Keep an open mind. You can support Barack Obama and at the same time not feel guilty about seeing a fat pig go down for the count. You can be an environmentalist, one who loves the earth and wishes only the best for the environment and wants to work hard toward greening the planet, and at the same time be exhilarated at the execution of a rapist and murderer, even though he weighs 271 pounds, and it may hurt a little bit, because I am. You can be a person who believes that gay people have the right to marry and that a woman has the right to choose, and at the same time, feel good, feel real good about Fat Boy here getting his neck stretched. That's what I think they ought to do.
Here we are getting gallows out or something. Hang the guy like in the Old West.
So I think they ought to do. Hang his ass, man. And don't tell me that the rope's going to break. Phil, you guys got to find a rope strong enough.